Song of Solomon, chapter 4. The lover Solomon says, "Behold, you're beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. Your eyes are doves behind your veil." Well, Solomon is saying this when he's a young man, and it was when he was a young man that he received the book of Proverbs, the wisdom from God, and he warns the young Israelite man not to be taken in by the attractive eyes of the Gentile woman. But he several times talks about how beautiful her eyes are. So he does exactly the opposite of what he knows is right. This is the trouble with possessing wisdom and knowledge, that you can think that the fact that I possess this truth means I'm okay. It's nothing to do with just possessing wisdom, it's whether you live it in your life. Your hair is like a flock of goats that descend from Mount Gilead. Your teeth are like a newly shorn flock, which have come up from the washing, where every one of them has twins. None is bereaved among them. That is, she doesn't have any missing teeth. Well, in those days, without dentistry as we know it, people lost their teeth pretty easily. But she's got all her teeth because she's young. But as time goes on, she was going to lose some teeth like we all do. Your lips are like scarlet thread. She has painted them, I guess. Your mouth is lovely. Your temples, again, her eyelids, top of her eyes, are like a piece of a pomegranate behind your veil. Your neck is like David's tower, built for an armory, whereon 1,000 shields hang, all the shields of the mighty men. I think that's alluding to how on her neck she had a rather fancy necklace that looked like it was 1,000 shields. So again, he's attracted by her lipstick. He's attracted by the necklace that she wears. So it's external attraction and the fact that she hasn't lost any teeth yet, because we all lose teeth as you get older. Your two breasts are like two fawns that are twins of a roe, which feed among the lilies. Until the day is cool and the shadows flee away, I will go to the mountain of myrrh, to the hill of frankincense. You are all beautiful, my love. There is no spot in you. Well, those words are sort of quoted or alluded to in the New Testament, where we are told that we are the bride of Christ, and we are to be like that, with no spot in us. But of course, we do have spots in us. No human body is perfect, neither was hers. But he sees her that way. And I think that sort of in-love status, seeing the beloved as if they are absolutely without spot, this is how, in his love, the Lord Jesus looks at us, because he counts us to be righteous. And that is what love is, in a sense, or in-loveness, looking at the other as if they are perfect and overlooking their imperfections. And when you think, but I'm full of imperfections, how could Jesus love me? Well, yeah, he looks at us in a certain way, and God looks at us in this very positive way because we are in Christ. Come with me from Lebanon, my bride, with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Senir and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. So I think he's imagining taking her on a tour of Israel, because she's not from Israel. You have ravished my heart, my sister, my bride. You have ravished my heart with one of your eyes, with one chain of your neck. So his heart is ravished with her eyes, and yet Solomon warns the young man of Israel in Proverbs not to be flattered and not to be taken in by the eyes of the Gentile woman. But he is, quite unashamedly. He doesn't get it. He refuses to apply wisdom to himself personally, and this was Solomon's problem. How beautiful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much better is your love than wine, the fragrance of your perfumes than all kinds of spices. Well, again, he's attracted by her makeup, by the external stuff. And Peter says that the godly woman does not use this stuff, but it is the hidden man of the heart that the spiritual man should find attractive. Your lips, my bride, drip like the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under your tongue. The smell of your garments is like the smell of Lebanon. Again, it's the clothes she wears that he likes. A locked-up garden is my sister, my bride, a locked-up spring, a sealed fountain. Your shoots are an orchard of pomegranates with precious fruits, henna with spikenard plants, calamus and cinnamon with every kind of incense tree, a fountain of gardens, a spring of living waters, flowing streams from Lebanon. She then says, "Awake, north wind, and come, you south. Blow on my garden that its spices may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and taste his precious fruits." So she is inviting him to sleep with her. She is very forward in a way that a godly woman would not be. He says that you're like a garden that's locked up because she's a virgin and they're not married yet. And yet she seems to think that it's okay for him to sleep with her. And what happens? Well, I think they do. I think that's the implication of the Song of Solomon, but they break up in the end. So this sadness is seen in just millions of human relationships all the time, all over the world. People simply getting involved with each other too intimately on the basis of surface-level attraction. I like your necklace. I like your perfume. I like your clothes. No, this, for the godly person, this is not to be the way that we go. And in the end, and this is the lesson of the Song of Solomon, when you get to the end of it, it doesn't really work.